Women That Lead presents Our Leading Edge, featuring your host, Jenna Forster, Mastermind Executive Coach, inspiring women to lead with alignment, passion, and purpose through conversations that inspire. Stretch yourself to a new level. Learn, grow, expand. And now, here's your host, Jenna Forster.
Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to Our Leading Edge radio show. As you heard, my name is Jenna Forster, and I'm a Mastermind Executive Coach. I'm really looking forward to spending time with all of you and engaging in some lovely, juicy conversations that will inform and inspire you. As you heard in the intro, this is Our Leading Edge, and it's brought to you by my organization, Women That Lead. I'll be sharing time with you and my guests every second Monday of the month, and it'll be at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and 2 p.m. Eastern. So if you're not able to make this call, not to worry. We all have schedules we need to keep. All calls will be available on podcasts after the show. So let's get going. But before we enter into the guts of the show, I think it's important to spend a few minutes talking about why am I so passionate about personal development and what brought me to this place and level of understanding. I'm going to spend a couple of minutes here, starting with myself. And a little bit about my journey, because I feel it's important for all of you to get to know me a little bit. I've been an executive coach for 13 years now, and I've learned so much during that time. I'm so thankful for the journey that I've been on. I'm a little bit of a course junkie, and so continual learning is always in the forefront of my time. But even with all of the courses or the training that I've done or that I've given, I know that my deepest learning came on a personal note about 4.5 years ago. Much to my surprise, completely out of the blue, I became one of those statistics, with a personal trauma of diagnosis. I know a lot of individuals have gone through this. A lot of you have had different movements, perhaps we call them challenges in our lives, things that we have gone through that are really part of our growth. This was something I wasn't expecting. I certainly did not see it coming, and I had what I thought was very little control over. You know that old adage, if you don't have your health, you don't have anything, which is very true, by the way, so don't kid yourself. This diagnosis changed my life drastically. Everything I knew about myself, everything I identified with, everything I prided myself for being, it was immediately stripped out from under me. My world was different. And no matter how hard I tried to push through or how much I put my head down to ignore the situation with the hopes of it just going away, I couldn't seem to change the inevitable outcome that this disease was going to win. My health shifted, and it shifted quickly. And it shifted to a degree that I had to pay attention. I say had to because I'm not sure I would have if I wasn't offered this opportunity. Honestly, my ego was brought to such a low level that I truly began to think clearly. My main focus and priorities shifted. They shifted from boardroom tables, executive meetings, clients, and training seminars to now the simplicity of healing. I needed to understand myself. I needed to understand my body, understand my brain, and understand my mind, because all of those things are different. I had to understand these components of myself to such a degree where I was now able to start healing myself. I immersed myself in neuroscience because I really wanted to understand the connection between healing and physiology. I wanted to understand the power of my thoughts, the power of my experiences, the power of my behaviors, and I wanted to understand the connection between my brain and my body, and how do I start to shift that personal reality that I called my life. Now, there was a natural connection for me between what I'd learned, what I was now practicing, how I was entering into my life at a completely new level, and how I served my clients. I was now able to teach this to those that I engaged with through courses, and I really expanded my method of coaching to create strong, truly committed change for those that I served. I have deep gratitude for the journey that I've been on. my heart is bigger because of the journey that I've been on, because it brought me to this place that I'm in now. And I'm a true believer that our journeys do that. They bring us to the place we are meant to be. When I think about my why do I want to spend time having this level of conversation? Why do I want to invest my energy into a radio show? It's because I'm really, really strong around the concept of reminding all of you, along with all my students, all my clients, all my colleagues, those that I spend time with, that not only do we have the skills to create our definition of success, but that you are built to do it. You know, that a mentor of mine, a great man that I really look up to in the work that he's done, Joe Dispenza puts it, we don't have to settle for our personal present reality. We can create a new one whenever we choose. We all have the ability, because for better or worse, our thoughts do influence our lives. We, the human race, we've forgotten, or perhaps we've been distracted away from how easy it can be to create success in our own lives, to live fulfilled and energized. If you think about executive coaching, what I do, executive coaches are here to work on behavior. We deal with the building blocks of being human. How do we go from here to over there, step by step? We are all built to create. We all have the ability to do this. We do it every moment of every day. So I'm going to spend some time today trying to strip away some of those clouds that may have been placed on personal development so that we can really start to explore this. I want to spend time exploring how to break the chains of our conditioning. How do we adjust our habits? How do we think about and express our emotional addictions? As we discuss things such as living confidently, values or performance, communication, limitations in future shows, my promise to you is that we will speak about a new future looking at the nuts and bolts of what us human beings are and how we may express our behavior and why, how we may respond to situations due to past experiences, how we may be reliving our known patterns in what we call our future, that the choices we make are biologically driven. We spend so much time as a society talking about willpower and setting goals and coming from this understanding that if we just do it, then we'll get there. I want to expand that thinking. That thinking's not incorrect. But let's expand that thinking so that first ourselves, then those around us have a deeper understanding of how it all works. So let's go back to the start of what I said with that the thoughts, the choices we make are biologically driven. And to do that, we need to talk about what makes our life look the way it does. From the day you were born, we all have what I call influencers in our lives. Influencers are those individuals that have had a direct impact on us on a continuous basis. That can look like parents, grandparents, extended family, or friends, whatever your family life looked like. Each main individual in your young life had influence over you. How? Well, they're the main characters in the development of the beliefs you formed, of the habits you created, of the attitudes you live in, and of the values that you have. For example, if you look on in North America and the young boys, I have two sons, and this is a very strong piece for me. If I look at my generation and how boys were raised when I was young, and this whole concept of man up, of brush yourself off, don't show emotions, be strong, be tough, be a man, and what that's costing males as they age and show up as adults, and then they get feedback like, you're emotionally distant. Your team can't engage with you. You need to show more emotion. I can't connect with you. If we look back at how this individual may have been raised, there's probably connections to that. So paying attention, not living in the past, but just paying attention, because beliefs, habits, attitudes, values, they get passed down through generations and they become learned behavior as children grow up. The more influence someone has over us, the more like them we will become. If you think about parenting, most parents spend a great deal of time and energy trying to make their children just like them. We have strong family traditions or things that we feel are deeply important for the child to learn. And we spend a great deal of time and energy passing that down. Not to say that's a good, bad, or indifferent thing. That's just the reality of what's happening. When you take those influencers in our lives and the learning that came with them and add that to the actual environment we were born in, our socioeconomic status, our culture, where we were born, we start to develop who we are. You are being developed. All of that input from others, if repetitive by nature, it becomes embossed in our mind. And you start to develop your identity or your personality. The identity or personality you develop from your influencers and your environment has a direct connection to the thoughts you continually have even to this day. So it can be said that your personality is equal to your environment. So just for a moment, let's go deeper into personalities. This may be something you're familiar with at different levels or perhaps not at all. Your current personality is built from your habits, your beliefs, your attitudes, your behaviors, and the experiences that you've had. Your current personality has a direct effect on your current personal reality or what you believe your life looks like. Your personality actually creates your personal reality. You see, we all view the world through our own unique set of lenses. And our lenses are based on our perceptions or our realities. You and a friend or a colleague can be sitting in a room having the same conversation with the same people. However, you will perceive what is being said differently. Why does that matter? Well, we are all exhibiting behavior every day based on what we believe is happening around us. The tricky part to this is we move through our lives both consciously, and what I mean by that is that you're present, you're aware, you're paying attention, and unconsciously, which means based on your conditioning or your memorized patterns or what you've learned in the past. Every single day, we move both unconsciously and consciously through our day. You can recognize that when you think about how you start your day. You get up every morning, and most of us have the same general routine or rhythm. We get ready the same way. Beyond that, some of us interact with the same people every day. Most of us exhibit the same basic behavior every day. Why? Because of the robotic nature of being a human being. We are unconsciously creating the same experiences we had the day before. In fact, according to the latest studies, we, human beings, work unconsciously, which is based on conditioning or the past or memorized patterns, 95% of our day. 95% of our day is based on our unconscious programming. We only work consciously or from present awareness 5% of the day. We have unknowingly become reliant on our conditioning, and our mind by nature is repetitive. If you want to put some figures to that, we have about 60 to 70,000 thoughts per day. 90% of those thoughts are the same ones you had yesterday and the day before and the day before. Even more concerning, and perhaps this will be another show, 70 to 75% of those thoughts are negative. Most of our unconscious action, that 95% of our day, is actually taken to emotionally reinforce the personality or personal reality we have become accustomed to. Why? because we have an innate need to feel more of the same way we have in the past. It's safe. It's comfortable. We know what to expect. We know how to deal with the outcomes. There's a circular looping, I call it a state of mind, that happens within us, and it's repetitive. We have the same thoughts we had yesterday, allowing us to see the same choices we saw yesterday, which creates the same basic action or behavior we had yesterday, which creates the same experiences we experienced yesterday, which creates the same emotions or feelings we felt yesterday, which creates more of the same thoughts, and so on, and so on, and so on. That looping or state of mind is very strong because it has been repeated over and over and over again, gaining strength and ability every time we do it. We train our brains the same way we train our bodies, with repetition. This is why change feels so difficult. And pure willpower and goal setting alone will only get you so far. Human beings are based and act on their conditioning. We become addicted to our emotions, or how we feel, and our emotions hold us to where we currently are. We need to understand that we will never create a new future holding on to our emotions of the past. Why all this talk about emotions? Emotions are catalysts. Feeling an emotion causes a chemical associated to that emotion to be released into your body. Each emotion has a certain chemical associated to it. For example, the little chime or the chirp that goes off on your phone whenever you get a message, it feels good. Why does it feel good? Because every time it happens, there's a release of dopamine that goes into your body. It's these chemical releases that actually connect our brain to our body. So we have an experience or a thought. The brain doesn't know the difference between something you think or something you do. That experience or thought fires an electrical signal in your brain. Once that electrical signal is fired in your brain will look to see if we've had a similar thought or experience from the past so we can connect the two. This is how connections are built. In the brain, they look like a jungle of trees. The branches are all overlapping and connecting. Once a connection is made, we feel some sort of emotion. The emotion causes a specific chemical link to that emotion to be released from your brain into your body. And then we get this rush of those chemicals into our body, which activates a specific center of our body. Maybe our heart beats faster, or our breathing changes, or our gut hurts. This brings your body into the equation, and your body then takes some sort of action. What we feel dictates the choices we see. And if we go through that looping again, the choices we see dictates the actions that we create and take, the behaviors we exhibit, and all of this equals the outcomes that we call our lives. The interesting thing here is that as a society, at least in North America and some parts of Europe, we are taught that expressing emotion is some sort of weakness, that there is a vulnerability with expressing emotion. Yet, if we look at our physiology, emotions, or chemical releases, are the way our brain and our body become connected. What happens when we continually fail to recognize the emotions we feel? We become disconnected. When we spend our energy pushing down or working to ignore our emotions, we become headstrong. We become emotionally disconnected or reactive in everything that we do. And worst case scenario, as happened with me, we become physically ill. A lot of us start to fill our time with outside influences to distract ourselves from what we're really feeling. This is how we end up with statistics like, healthcare professionals estimate that 40% of people have an addiction issue. All of this isn't to say that we need to become these highly emotional beings. It's more of an awareness that the emotions you feel can work for you, that you can recognize them and then choose how to proceed. They're there to build awareness. when anyone talks about emotions, they're talking about chemicals being released into the body or the brain-body connection. In order to be conscious in our day-to-day lives, it demands a slowing down and a paying attention. Because to be unconscious in our lives really means to act out the conditioning of our mind or our past experiences. Our conditioning or our reality is based on reinforcing the same emotional experiences of the past. When we come to terms with that, we can finally lift the heavy clouds of, I'm not good enough, I can't achieve, life is unfair, it's so hard, I can't, and realize that, yes, you can. With a little attention, determination, and the right direction, you have the ability to move your life in whatever direction you want it to go. How do we do this? How do we move away from our robotic nature and start creating what we want in our lives? How do we change our current reality? Moving from where you are now to where you want to be, it's a physical process. You have created your current reality by having the same thoughts, which, as we've discussed, creates what? The same choices, which creates the same actions or behaviors, which creates the same experiences, which creates the same feelings, which creates the same thoughts, and so on and so on, the circular looping I spoke about. In order to create a new future, you must work to create new thoughts. Because if you think about the looping that we all do, wouldn't it be logical that if we create a new thought, then we enable our ability to see a new choice or opportunity, which will then have you take a new action or express a new behavior, which will have the outcome of a new experience, making us feel a new feeling. Start to think of your brain as a garden. Your job is to plant enough new thoughts, emotions, and experiences that your current connections automatically get pruned away. When your garden is full and vibrant, you will naturally start to remove some of the older, unhealthy plants that don't serve your garden anymore. Start small. Choose to learn something new and begin to create new experiences in your life. Read up on a subject matter that interests you. Take a different route to work or take a different route through your office to the meeting you're about to walk into. Eat at a different restaurant, or if you don't feel comfortable with that, order something new. Start up a conversation with someone new. As we learn something new, we fire a new electrical connection in our brain. As we experience something new or think something new, we get our body involved and we feel differently. If your brain is busy wiring and firing your new thoughts, feelings, and emotions, then it's not signaling your old ones. In the neuroscience world, like in the gardening world, it's called pruning. The moment you think a new thought, you have then created change. I invite you to embrace a thought that really changed my life, and that is, life is making lines on a paper and choosing where those lines go. I invite you to just for a few minutes a day, take your time, slow down, pay attention, stop, look, and listen. We teach our kids that. We forget that as adults. And then choose wisely where you want those lines you call your life to go and draw them. Life is about learning. It's about growing. It's about expanding who we currently are. You are a human being, and your nature is to be successful in whatever that means. You were built that way. The creation of you is only a thought away. While we each have our own individual journey, and it's such an important part of who we are, know that you don't have to do this alone. You can find support through lots of different means. Read a book. Start to talk about this with your friends. Find a class, find a mentor, hire a coach. Take the reins of your life and create something new. If you want to read any more of this, I know it's a lot of information. or if I can be a further support to you around this, you'll find a multitude of articles in my contact information on my website, womenthatlead.com. I hope you can join me next time with my guest, friend, and author of the international bestseller, A Whisper from Your Soul, Drayton Boylston, as we continue to build on how to proactively pay attention and perhaps avoid the big life crisis that is so often our wake-up call to change the way we perceive the world. So thank you for joining me. Thank you for spending your time with me. I honor and appreciate you. And I'll see you next time. But until then, make it a great life.
Thank you for joining Jenna on today's program, Women That Lead, Our Leading Edge. For more information regarding today's show or on any of the programs Women That Lead offers, please visit www.womenthatlead.com. Until next time, lead with alignment, passion, and purpose.